Session number 22135, Reel 2.
Nelson Taylor, Reel 2. Do you know which day you landed? How long after D-Day?
24th of June.
So you didn't land under fire?
No, not under fire, no.
Which company and platoon of the HLI were you in?
B Company. Eleventh platoon.
And what was your job with the unit?
I was a brain gunner. And
so what happened to you after you landed?
Well, we went forward some distance and through Beni Samir, and we got up to a position, and we stayed there the night, and the next morning we went up to a place called Shue. I always pronounce it Shue, and it was about a mile from Cannes. The city of Cannes.
How do you spell the Hue?
Hue?
How do you spell it?
C-H-E-U-X. And as I say, we dug in. Well, no, we took over some German positions there. And half 10 or so each morning, we used to have four ME-109s used to come over and machine gun the positions. And on the 8th of July, we had, in the evening, we had Lancasters come over from England. And 500 odd, not together but singly, and they bombed Cannes. And when they were leaving to come back, to go back to England, they were coming back over us and waggling the wings as they saw us, and then going back to England. And we thought how lucky they were. And they, but Cannes was destroyed. We could see the fires of the detonations and the blast. We could see the blast go out from Cannes, and really it made, it destroyed Cannes. And when an attack later was going in, not by us, but by another unit, they couldn't get through the streets for the for all the stones and bricks and everything that were down across the streets. So really they made it worse for the army than if they hadn't bombed it, because the Germans had actually pulled out of them. There were only some outside the town. And They made it actually worse for the attack because of the debris that was piled up in the streets, and couldn't get the tanks through ours. And the I'd say we a few days at Shue, and we had the Messerschmitts every morning, and mortaring and shelling, and the we moved from there up to Hill 112.
Had you been in much fighting before Hill 112?
No. We did advance, but we had no opposition other than shelling and mortaring. And we got up to Hill 112 and on top, and We got shelled on the way up there. We got into German positions that were dug up there. And the small village down below that used to be attacked by typhoons of rockets and 500-pound bombs every morning. And we were up there a few days, and we went on from Caen up the coast, and we captured a flying bomb site with took some 30 prisoners, and there was actually a flying bomb at the rear of the ramp, and I say we took these 30, and we were there some time with them, and some the Free French 25 odd turned up. The French underground, and they were armed with German rifles. And our major said, well, we've got to push on. And we left the 30 prisoners with the Free French.
What do you think happened to them?
Oh, when we got across the field, they shot them. We looked back and they were all on the ground. Yeah, they shot them, and as we crossed the next field, away about 100 yards or so away from the flying bomb site, their field was pockmarked with bomb craters, and yet there was not a bomb crater on the flying bomb site. It was not damaged at all. Actually, so close together, these bomb craters, you could literally walk through, you could put both feet in either one of them. And the we pulled on from there, we taking new ground, and we'd lost some men, and mostly to S mines, and we came upon an area which was 3 miles deep, which was covered in mines, and they'd had so many that they'd left the others on the roadside, wooden mines, some metal mines, teller mines, S mines. They've been left along the road, not even worrying to bury them. But all the ground round either the fields, either side, were all full of mines. We got through there up to Arras.
The channel ports?
Yes, but we were inland from the channel ports. Got up to the crossing over the Seine. And the bridge had been put up by the REs, and on to more towns.
Before you leave Normandy, where did you do most of your fighting in Normandy?
Well, it was in,
Did you do much fighting on Hill 111, Hill 112?
No, we had more fighting in, when we got to Belgium and Holland and Germany than we had in, actually in France. We more or less took towns and small places, villages and areas, and they kept us advancing. As soon as we'd been into one place, we were on to another.
Which division were you with?
53rd Welsh. And we were HLI, and we had the East Lancs and the Oxford Bucks in our brigade. We were English brigade in the Welsh Division. And as I say, we got up to the Belgian border, and we got to a town called Comines, which is where Hitler had served during the war, 1914-18 war. And we had the SS there, but they pulled out ahead, and we took the town, and left it next morning for Menin. We got into Menin, and we went from there to I forgot to mention, in Normandy, we went to, we had to do a 21-mile march through the Falaise Gap. And it was at a distraction, the whole 22-mile. There were bodies everywhere on the road, and hundreds of horses dead in the harnesses, being machine gunned, and every kind of car, truck, lorry, tank you could think of, all knocked out. And it was in the shape of, it was a valley shape, and they couldn't get out either side. And they'd blown to pieces, and the typhoons had they'd stopped the they'd hit the convoy, if you can call it that, at the front to block the valley of the road, and then they'd attack the rear, and then they'd set about the rest of the of the convoy. And there were even some civilians, women, in some of the transports, all dead. And I don't know whether they were German women or what they were, but one chap told me that he'd seen a kitchen unit that had been a hot tub of pea soup, and this German's head and shoulders were actually in the tub, submersed in pea soup, which had solidified over him. And anyway, We the next morning we got marched all night. We got into a field and our feet were somewhat hurting, and then we took our boots off, went down a stream and put our feet in, and ice cold, and we got a call for breakfast, and we had to go across the field to the dining, to the kitchen unit, and when we got there, the major went mad because we'd come without our boots on. And he said, the Germans are only over there, and there's a whole lot of you with, go back and get your boots on before you get breakfast. And we moved on from there to, as I say, we got to the Belgian border, and we got into Comines, and we moved on from there to Menin, but if it's of any interest, as we moved off, so I found I'd left a spare barrel of the Bren in the building we'd been in at night, and I went back to fetch it, and the company marched on. And I got, coming back across the square, I got caught up in a whole lot of civilians. And I was pushing in the front. And it went up to a door of a building in the square. And two rifles came back either side of me from behind, pointing at the door. And this man eventually opened the door. And they shot him, straight off. He'd obviously been working for the Germans. And I went on my peaceful way to catch the company. And we got into Menin. And we stayed the night in the school there, and the Belgians bought some straw for us to lie on, and we pulled off in the morning.
When you shot this chap, was there anybody else about?
Oh, a whole lot of Belgium civilians, yeah.
How did they react to it?
Oh, they were all for it. They were all shouting for him to be shot. But I felt a bit sort of as it was a rifle coming out of sight.
Did you just shoot one?
They just shot one, yeah. I didn't open fire, no. I didn't have any reason to. I mean, he's a Belgian civilian, and as I say, we went on to Courtrai, I think it was. And to Antwerp, and which was being used as a new port for supplying the British Army instead of bringing the supplies up from Normandy. The British Army would be supplied from Antwerp, and we had flying bombs over all the time, aimed for Antwerp port, and we got decided to go to. They gave us a free afternoon, and we went into Antwerp. We went to see a film of Laurel Hardy, and at the Rex Cinema in Antwerp, R-E-X, Rex, a good name. And the next afternoon, at the same time that we'd been the previous, our major went into the cinema, mainly for sleep, not to see the film. And he got under the
balcony,
and he went to sleep. Big 6 foot something chap. He went to sleep down, right down in the street, and he woke up in hospital so many hours later, without any physical damage, and a V2 had wrecked the cinema. Reckon it'll landed forward of the or behind the screen. Actually hit the cinema, and there were some 500 people killed, because the cinema was actually bursting with people. Belgians and British Army and Canadians Army, and it killed over 500 people there. And he came back to us in a fortnight after being sent home, the major, and he carried on as our CO, and none the worse. And he reckons it's because he was asleep and down in the seat, and I don't know. And anyway, we moved on from Antwerp to Brussels. Outside Brussels, I should say, not in Brussels. And a place called Turnhout. And we moved from there to the Dutch border, and we crossed over the border, and we'd been in there a day in Holland, and the airborne came over, hundreds of gliders and Dakotas in a stream, and we went up to Eindhoven, and we had to do an attack on Middelburg, which was between Eindhoven and Tilburg. And we were in Tilburg for a few days. And then we, half of it was held by the French SS. And,
the French SS?
Yes. They seemed to be very poorly trained, not like the Germans, and showing themselves and getting shot. And we went out on, we were in one opposition one evening, and four of them came up the other side of a hedge, 10 feet away from our position, and on a patrol, talking away, the French. They lit up cigarettes, night time. They lit up cigarettes and stood there smoking. And we were told not to, earlier we'd been told not to fire, give away position, not to fire unless we attacked. And so we couldn't fire at them, but we thought it a bit strange, lighting up cigarettes on patrol. And we I went on a patrol to Tilburg with a corporal, a sergeant, and another private like myself. And we got up to the canal one side of Tilburg. And we ordered by the sergeant to dig a slit trench. We were by a farmhouse, and moved forward to the ground which he said to dig, and I had a shot in front of my feet, because there was a block of flats the other side of the canal, some 50 yards away, the other side of the canal. So many windows, and the shot hit in front of my feet. I went down, and I reached for the Bren, and it put another shot between me, my hand, and the Bren. And the corporal came out with a rifle and fired at various windows. So I was able to withdraw, and he said, forget about the slit trench. We got into the farmhouse, and there was a small bridge, straight bridge across, a flat bridge, I mean, small one, 50 yards away some, across the canal. Anyway, we got into the farmhouse, and down the passageway we found like a dog flap, only bigger. And when in that, there was a room inside with a boiler. So we got in there and we had our tea and a bit of food, biscuits that we got. And the Germans didn't come across. Nobody came. So, come night time, we pulled back to the company, and we had a corporal come to us from Royal Artillery. He'd been sent us one reinforcement, and we. Jerry sent over some mortars, and the one chicken had its leg taken off, one leg. And this corporal arrived, and first thing he saw was this chicken. And he caught it and had it cooked for himself. And we all watched him eating his chicken. And that night he was standing up in a slit trench, and he was shot dead. And
how did that come about?
We stood up in the slit. We used to get some odd shooting across, and he, one of these Frenchmen must have seen him. And the we got orders to move out, and the the ground was taken over by another unit, and I was told to take six prisoners back, and then we got to on the edge of the village, and a sergeant from the other side of the road pointed at one of the Frenchmen, and he said, we'd lost a sergeant, a corporal, and two men by mortar fire, And happened to be a friend of this corporal, and they, or sergeant, and the, he pointed to one of the six Germans, Frenchmen I had, and he said, "I want him." I said, "What for?" And he said, "I'm going to shoot him." And I said, "No, you're not. I've been ordered to take six back, and I'll take six." And